child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but when face to face, now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Now what he's explaining here is a mindset. He's talking about growing to maturity. He's talking about the way that you live, your philosophy in life, bringing it back to love here. But I want to focus just on verse 11, right? I just want to focus on verse 11 where he makes this very solid, almost a throwaway point, but so much hangs in that point. It's important for us to open up and see what's in there. And I think the reason why that's so important is because when you look at the world today, and of course, the world as it always really has been, we get into messes because we lack the maturity to handle certain situations properly. I've seen many a situation in a person's life, I've done them, you've done them, where because of a lack of maturity, we made a problem. Or we made a problem worse because we lacked maturity. And of course, we see in the world today, why do we see some of the nonsense? Why is it that I see grown adults out there dressed as cartoon characters to go grocery shopping? I don't know. Right? And I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not picking. I'm not trying to be ugly. But you just kind of look at folks and you go, oh, that's a brightly colored person. Right? And again, I got to be real careful. I'm not trying to be mean. But why? But why? You know, I'm not a scientist. I'm not somebody who's trained well in hair dyes and things like that. But I've seen some people do things to the top of their head I know isn't good for their head. Right? I get bright red spots and they put chemicals in there and it burns and it hurts. And again, I'm not talking about dyeing hair. If you dye your hair, don't come after me in the parking lot later. Don't do that. I'm talking about some of the extreme stuff that we'll do. Hey, I'm gonna put a hole here and put some metal there and I'm going to do this and I'm going to cover my entire lower extremities and tattoos. Why? Listen, the Bible said, the Bible's very clear on it, but if you've got one or two, I got you. But your whole body, how much money do you have to paint yourself? Right? But what I'm trying to get to is this, is it's not just in the way that we present ourselves where we see a lack of maturity, it's in our philosophy. Right? Do you remember about a decade or so ago when they came, where everybody was saying that phrase, treat yourself. Treat yourself. Like that's a new thing. Like we don't have fast food restaurants lining streets all over the place to give us hot garbage we don't need. Like we don't have entire middle sections of supermarkets filled with treats and goodies. We don't treat ourselves. Like we don't already have a billion-dollar travel industry so I could go someplace to treat myself. Now I've got this philosophy. And you know who tells you that? The people that sells you the treats. Oh, they love that. But what do they put that in? Oh, no, it's good for you. It's good for you to treat yourself. We were already treating ourselves. We already were. What are you trying to do? Oh, it's a philosophy of giving yourself what you want. We do that anyway. But we're being told as though we're given a gift. Now we have permission to do so. We always have. We always will. The Bible says no man hates his own flesh. Am I right? No, not in the truest sense of the word. We all love it. We all take care of it. We all nurture it one way or the other. Even when we stop taking care of ourselves. Why? Because we don't feel like it. There you go. You're still giving it what it wants. So listen, why do we see these things? And what about relationships? What about the states of relationships nowadays, right? Where you've got men who will go out there and they will father children and then leave and never go back to take care of them. These people that are going out there, they're living these promiscuous lifestyles. And we're not even talking about broken homes anymore. We're talking about homes that failed to launch, right? You've got kids. You've got a mom who's got three kids from three different fathers and she's pretty sure she knows who they are. You know how detrimental that is to the child? But yet we'll sit there and talk about the mom and lift her up. Oh, what a brave thing. Oh, what a wonderful thing. She's expressing herself. She's exploring herself. Oh, what a wonderful thing. You know how terrible that is for the kids? We think about that woman at the well. Yeah, you've had a lot of husbands. The one you're with ain't even your husband. You know, we blow and we go on about gay marriage and some of this weird transgenderism, but we need to look back at the failures from 40, 50, 60, 70 years ago. That's where it came from. The playing around, the sleeping around. Why is it that we've got a social structure filled with children in these foster care homes where they're pretty much just being fostered so the family can make money, where they're abusing the kids and they're laying the kids aside and they're using the kids for this or that? And we don't look at that. We don't get bothered by that. We should. Why do we have those things? A lack of maturity. We've got a lot of grown-ups out there who are no better than children. And kids, I'm not picking on you. We got some smart kids. We got some great kids in our church. There's nothing fundamentally wrong with a child, except that when you're adult, you're not supposed to behave that way anymore. You know, poor little Melody, she's sitting there screaming all through devotion this morning. Wonder why she did that? Because she's a baby. Right? And we're going to be okay with that, right? We have a nursery area. We've got things set up, right? Right? We're okay with that. Brother Mike starts doing it, I'm going to have a conversation with him. Why? Because what's okay for a child? Right? What about our conference? Those poor kids, those kids are soldiers during our conference. We had a really good year with kids for whatever reason. We didn't have a lot of distraction. It was really good. But we got some of them back there, and some of them were sitting there. They're napping and they're cranky. Why? Because that's incredibly hard for children. They've never done anything like that before. In school, they stop every 20 minutes just to move around. They're getting better at that. Here, we don't do that. I'm not trying to fix it. There's nothing wrong with it. But it's hard for them. They're not used to it yet. So what do? They whine a little. They cry a little. They get restless a little. Right? We say amen. They're running up and down the hallway. They were downstairs running around. Right? Why? Because they're kids. Right now, again, if I'm sitting there going, I can't do this, we would feel differently about that. Why? Because as a child, it's expected. They haven't learned yet. As an adult, it's different. The important thing is for us to always remember that it's perfectly possible for you to act like a child. And not in a good way. Not in a good way. We were playing yesterday. We went and we got some Happy Meals. And we were at the Applewood Estate, and they had all this stuff for the kids to do, and one of them was you could build a catapult. So the kids, they were all excited. They built a little catapult. It was a free thing. So we got to do all sorts of free stuff, right? There was a baby chicken riding on top of another chicken. It was a whole day. We came home, and Xander had these little Lego guys, and we put the Lego guys in the catapult. And we were trading off competitions to see who can get the little Lego guy into the happy, just a ridiculous thing. For like 5 whole minutes, I was a kid again, racing these other kids, trying to do this. We're not talking about that kind of becoming a kid again. We're talking about a level of immaturity, not fit or becoming for an adult. A philosophy, a mindset, a decision that reveals more foolishness than it ever does wisdom. All throughout history, we see plenty of evidence to prove that it's not always the kids that are the problem. We see time and time again full-grown adults behaving like little babies. And I like what Paul says here. Let's look at this. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, miraculously the childish things went away. That's not what it says, is it? I turned 18 and all of a sudden the maturity hit me. No. I put away childish things. I put them away. Now again, he's not talking here about toys. He's not talking here about schoolwork. He's not talking here about having best buddies. What is he talking about? He's talking about philosophy of life. I put the old philosophies away. And I picked up the grown-up ones. I asked my kids, we were having a devotion, when do you become an adult? And they had different answers. And it's funny, you just ask people, when do you become an adult? If this were a Sunday school class, I'd ask you. We'd probably get various different answers. When you turn 18, when you develop an ability to take care of yourself, this or that, we all got different ideas. When do I become an adult? And I think this is a good line. When you put away childish things. When you put away childish things. I've met some people 12 and 13 years old, more of an adult than some of the 40 and 50 year olds I know. Because at one particular point, they developed a maturity about how they were making their decisions, a maturity about the way that they thought, and they adopted that a lot faster than some of the other folks that I see out there, right? They have an ability to learn. They have an ability to process that understanding and turn it into solid decision-making. When we lay aside the childish things, I think that is when we become an adult, right? Now, we're not talking legal voting age here, by the way. But what we are talking about is the mindset, the mentality. Let's pull this apart a little bit. The first thing he says is, when I was a child, I spake as a child. And you sit there and you think about the way that you spoke when you were a kid. Did you ever say anything as a kid that you still remember now and it embarrasses you? Anybody? I know I did. I bet you did too. Where even now, you'll go to bed and that time you said something comes right back up, right? So, we all said things as kids that were what? Loud, impulsive, and not fully thought out. Am I right? And we see kids today, they're doing the same thing. Loud, impulsive, and not a lot to it. There's a difference between having something to say and just needing to say something. Like children shouting random nonsense, sometimes we're just trying to be heard. Frivolous words can get you. They can hurt others, or they can even embarrass you. You also have to consider the reason why you're in so bad need of attention right now. I was watching a documentary on parents who have really large social media followings, whether on YouTube or something like that, or they've got reality shows. You ever see those? They got kids in the show. They got kids on social media. And the parents often use the kids because the kids are the big draw for the attention, right? It wasn't two parents counting 19 kids. It was 19 kids and counting. Am I right? We watch to see what's wrong with you people or what's going on with you people, right? Me, I like the religious stance. I did. But then, like, you got to 19 kids. That's it. That's something else. I kind of want to see how that goes. But no, most of the time people watch it for the kids, and that's not always an innocent thing either. But whether it's on YouTube or it's on the traditional cable television that we would watch, there was a big draw for that. And oftentimes to get people to watch, they would throw the kids out there for things, right? We pranked our child. We did this for the kids. Hey, the kids today are going out and they're grocery shopping for the first time on their own. They would bait the kids out there. Why? Because it drew attention. It drew attention to them. And I kind of sat there and wanted to go sometimes. Why do you need that attention? What's the purpose of it? You know, I'll sit there at dinner sometimes, not in my house, but I'll sit there and I'll just see people talking. And you know how people can have conversations? You can have four people at a table, there's four conversations going, no one's listening. Right? Shouting, oh yeah, we did this at work today, oh yeah, you did that at work today, I went to work today too, and we did that. And they're shouting at each other, and I can hear them from across the room, but you know for a fact ain't none of them can hear each other. What are you doing? Attention, please. Me, me, me. Right? You know, I'm not a baby that needs to be, you know, rocked. Wait your turn. Let's have real conversations, things that matter. Right? We don't ought not to be loud. Remember, it's the meek that will inherit the earth. Remember that there's a deferring of each other that we are commanded to do. In our language, in our conversation, remember, this is not a TV show and you are not the main character. Sit and enjoy. Sit and enjoy. Sometimes I feel like I've always got to talk. Guess what? I don't. Some of the best moments that I've ever spent were just sitting there listening to smarter people talk. Listening to people who knew what they were saying talk. I used to enjoy going and I would sit by where the preacher's table was. Never sat at the preacher's table. I used to sit by the preacher's table and I would listen to what they had to say. Oh, man. And they would be, you know what I found sometimes? Sometimes they talked the Bible, and that was good. Sometimes they talked about life and what their church was doing, and that was good. You learn so much when you just shh and listen. You learn so much. As a matter of fact, I think that's what's wrong with so many people, is we learn to talk, but we don't learn how to listen. We never learn how to learn. Right? Because it's all competition. You say a thing, I say a thing. You up me, I up you. And we go back and forth. And oh, that's great that you had that crazy story. But I've got a crazy story. Oh, what's that? You went to the doctor. I also have a physician. Isn't that crazy? Let me tell you about mine while you're telling me about yours. And again, it strays beyond just regular conversation and just becomes one person trying to outspeak the other. Sometimes we'll say things that lack substance. Now, I'm not saying that you got to talk about something that makes sense all the time, but a lot of the things that we demand attention for, we don't really need to hear about, aren't necessary. What does the Bible say about idle words? What does the Bible say about just flippantly tossing words out there? There's a danger to that, right? You could be wrong, have no idea, especially if you're talking about things of Scripture. You could be lying. You could be misrepresenting something. You could be trying to put on a show just to make people think you're great. That's not the purpose of a conversation, by the way. That'll make you miserable. It's a contest you'll never win. Let's be purposeful. Let's have substance to what it is we're talking about. I like our fellowships. I've been around men before. Like, we got our men's fellowship coming up on Tuesday, this coming Tuesday. You know, I've hung around men of, not men of God, but just godly men, right? And we'll have a devotion, we'll be talking something, and the preacher or whoever's leading the devotion will say amen. And all of a sudden, what is it? Well, have you seen my cell phone? Did you see what they're doing with the baseball and what they're doing with the football? And did you see this and did you see that? And oh yeah, by the way, I'm going to buy this new thing. And those are fine conversations. But the conversations never strayed back to spiritual things. I like ours. Ours will go on for a while. Somebody asked me one time, well, how long do your coffee fellowships go? I go, well, sometimes they'll go for about 50 minutes. I go, other times I've walked out at 12. Oh, you guys must really, like, what do you guys talk about? We'll start at one topic and we'll just kind of circle a lot of different things, but we'll keep it in a spiritual basis. And sometimes we'll fall off and talk some nonsense. But the conversations of substance matter much more to me than the others. You know, that's great of what you're doing over there with your backyard. That's great that you went and you saw the football game. I love hearing that. That's great. But you know what I value more? Those biblically based conversations. Those conversations of substance. Where we sit there and say, hey guys, you listen, pray for me. I've got this going on. And, hey, listen, you know what? While we're talking about this, can we remember to pray for that? Hey, I was reading yesterday, and this is what the Lord showed me, and I love that. We cannot forget how badly we as Christians need conversations of true substance. Again, not preaching against the regular stuff, but to have substance, real valuable things in our conversations. Not just passing words, not just, hey, did you see what's on sale down there at VG's, but real conversations as well. Real conversations as well. And then we see tons of conversation that lack truth. Tons of conversation that are deceptive. Conversations that's just there for, entertainment's sake. Anybody here, you caught the news this week a couple times about our president, our vice president, their little guffaws? Uncle Joe's advice to all those people down in Florida. The number one thing you need to do in preparation of a hurricane, did you hear what he said? You got to get vaccinated. I kid you not, look it up. You can find the most important thing for you to do right now, go get vaccinated. I go, there's a hurricane vaccination? That would be awesome. That'd be the one vaccination the Floridians would probably take. Right? Florida and Texas would line up. All right, here we go. A vaccination against hurricanes. No, because everything else gets much more difficult without your vaccination. Tell me you did not buy a huge stock of vaccination for a virus that's almost gone. That's exactly what he did. Kamala Harris spent all that time in South Korea this last week. Oh, bless her heart, isn't she a hero? Over there at South Korea, the one Korea we know isn't crazy. Sat there in front of all the South Koreans. after the entire history of North and South Korea, in front of the entire world watching, talking about how we've got this great, I can't remember the word she used for it. It wasn't union. Was it a partnership? Well, alliance. We have a fantastic alliance with the Republic of North Korea. That's your vice president, Brother Mike. That's your vice president. We have, and she went on to talk in glowing words about our loving relationship with the Republic of North Korea. And could you imagine being a South Korean after all the abuses and all the drama and all the trauma that's come from this, hearing we've got a wonderful alliance with the Republic of North Korea? Whew. You gotta be careful with your words. Your words do stuff. Some people have never quite figured that out, that our words do stuff. And our words matter, and they should be honest and true. They should be honest and true, right? Now, many of us, we took the vaccination. I try not to preach on this, but many of us took it. And that's fine. I wasn't angry at him. I'm not angry at those that do, those that don't. I'm really not. But when the United States president can sit there and say that the number one thing you need to do in the face of a hurricane is get vaccinated, I know why. It's because you bought too much of it. Because you're back there having a bubble bath in it. Because there's so much of it. And you got to unload it. But yet there's these people terrified for their property, for their families, for their homes. They're terrified. So what are we going to do? We're going to throw that out there. I find so much dishonesty sometimes when it comes down to Christianity, where we will say things the Bible doesn't say, where we'll try to give comfort in things. I remember that story of the young girl. She died in a car wreck. Mom and dad were driving across an icy bridge. Little girl took her seatbelt off just for a second to reach down and grab something. And in that time, the car spun out of control, crashed. Little girl died. And the hospital chaplain came up and said to the man, "There's just some things God can't help." That's not only dishonest, but that's disgusting. God had a plan. I don't know what it was, but it is. That's blasphemy to sit there and say that God can't help a situation. Of course he did. He knew exactly what he was doing. And it, you know, sometimes it hurts. Sometimes it's rough to go through. We'll talk about some of that later on tonight. But you know what? Sometimes you got to cross the bitter waters, but there's always a reason for the water to be there. Always a reason. We need to make sure our conversations are filled with the right substance. We got to make sure we're doing it right. Proverbs 29 verse 11 says, "A fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in till afterwards." We need to know when we don't have the right to speak on something. Right? We need to know when we don't have the ability to speak on something. And if it's something we're supposed to be speaking on, we need to make sure that we learn. Right? We need to make sure that we learn. Breaks my heart when you hear a Christian say, "Well, I don't really know much about that doctrine, so I can't talk about it." Well, thank you for your honesty, but now you know what you got to go home and do, right? Now you know the next part is you go home and you learn. You figure it out. Because you're supposed to know what you believe, to be able to give an answer to anyone that asks. You're supposed to be able to do that. So you better go home and study. We ought not to be the ones caught speaking out of impulse. Just running our mouths. Right? Ecclesiastes 3:7 tells us that there is a time to rend, a time to sow, a time to keep silence, and a time to speak. Isn't that what I'm always saying? The two most valuable words you can use in a relationship? Shut up. Not words to say, words to know when to do, and when not to do it. There's a time to keep quiet, and there's a time to speak. Time to keep quiet, time to speak. Right? Now we understand, not just I spake as a child, we see here that he says, "I understood as a child." I understood as a child. Now, children, their understanding, the reason why they struggle with understanding sometimes is because they haven't had the experience. Many of us, we have the experience, but we still lack proper understanding of things. Why? Because we've built that understanding on the wrong stuff. The proper information And the proper discernment with that of that information develops our understanding of things, right? It develops what it is. I'll give you, for instance, of a man who didn't quite understand correctly. Right? It's a story that was in the New York Times in 1904. A man by the name of Ignacio Valenti, who had a massive fight with his wife. The story says that they fought over how she cooked dinner, but that's not important. That's not important. But the argument escalates and she leaves him and his two-year-old child in a huff, vowing to never return. It's a heartbreaker. After a while, the tensions cool and Mr. Valenti begins to feel pretty bad about what happened between he and his wife. And he begins to go out and look for it. And he files a police report and he's sitting there and he's talking to the neighbors and he's calling family over in Italy and just trying to find his wife, and him and his two-year-old little boy. Well, a couple days later, the police calls, "Mr. Valenti, we found your wife. You got to come down to the coroner's office. We need you to identify the body." He goes down there and he looks at her. And of course, if you've ever been called to that gruesome task, you understand it's not an easy thing. And it's not always easy to tell what you're looking at. But he looks and sees the clothes and he goes, "That's my wife's dress. Those are my wife's shoes. I recognize these." He goes, "She doesn't quite look the same." And the coroner goes, "That happens. Right, but if you recognize the clothes, you recognize what's on her, I'm very sorry, sir." He goes home and they prepare for the funeral. She always said she wanted to be buried in her wedding dress, so he gets the wedding dress and they have the funeral and everything goes the way that it should. And Mr. Valenti and his two-year-old child, they come home to the house to live without the wife, to find the wife inside the house. It was the wrong woman. So the wrong woman was identified at the coroner's office. The wrong woman was buried in his wife's wedding dress. And I'm reading this story, and I go, how on earth is that? Maybe it's because I am a husband who's made mistakes. How on earth is he going to explain this misunderstanding to his wife and where her wedding dress is? We have misunderstandings because we operate on the wrong information. And you know what I'm going to say? The very first thing you need is the right information. Where do we get the right information in life? You get it in the Word of God. Because so many of us are getting our theology based off of a Sunday school class we attended 20 years ago. Or our modern-day Christian music. Why is Christian music such a crucial thing? Why is it that I pick on it the way that I do? Because bad theology can be taught through it, and people will eat it up because it's got a bop to it. Oh, but you're not talking to a theologian. You're not talking to somebody. This guy right here is a sodomite. They've admitted openly that they drink behind stage. Like, this is a rock music group that couldn't make it in the secular scene, so they came over here by their own admission. And you're taking theology out of their songs. Oh, I just think it's so beautiful. Do you ever hear that song? The songs are not the Bible. And if they contradict the Bible, they ought not be on your radio. Right? Got to be careful with what you take in and what you partake in. If my information is wrong, my understanding will be wrong. And your understanding is valuable. It's important. Many a child believes this, that they themselves are the center of the universe. Everything kind of revolves around, not picking on kids, but that is kind of the mentality. What else do they believe? I'll live forever. Right? I've never met a kid that sat there and said, all right, well, it's time for me to start planning for my estate. Right? No one ever sat there, Mom, for Christmas this year, can I get a grave? I'd like to put a nice headstone in layaway if I could do that, Mom. Can we do that this year? They don't think that far ahead. We too fall into those same traps. How many people do you know out there, the very most important thing to them are their wants? They're willing to buy, steal, cheat, put other people through rough circumstances just to have whatever it is that they want. What about our desires? Do our desires come first? Oh, but you don't understand, it makes me feel good. Yeah, but it's not good for you. Yeah, but God said no. Yeah, but it makes me feel good. There's a lot of things that are incredibly dangerous that'll make you feel good. Don't play with them. You know, there's a story told about those guys that'll climb skyscrapers. You ever see those lunatics? They'll climb all the way up them, jump off of them. And they'll say, why do you do that? It makes me feel alive. There was a trend on the internet where people would climb into high things and walk out onto poles and things just to get a picture of themselves doing something dangerous off the side of a cliff. Look how crazy I am. Why do you do that? It makes me feel alive. You know how long that'll make you feel alive? Till you hit the bottom. Then you're going to feel something else. Right? Listen, I don't think doing this drug is bad. I don't think doing this is bad. I don't think doing that's wrong. Yeah, but we know that it's killing you. The science says that it's killing. Yeah, but it makes me feel good. My dad used to tell me this. My grandmother lived to be 99, smoked every day of her life. I go, yeah, but you've got like 7 other family members that died of lung cancer or something. Right? Like, you see a bunch of people getting together. Really? Right? My grandpa used to drink a pack a day. And he'd be fine. During a whole case a day, he was fine. Yeah, but you know how many other people out there don't make it past 20? You know how many other people do this and do that? We'll sit there and raise 2 or 3 people with some tolerance to try to hide, you know, 7-8 million people behind. Right? Oh, no, my promiscuous lifestyle is freeing. It makes me feel good. It makes me happy. No, doing this at work, everybody does this with their money at work. Everybody does this. This makes me feel good. It puts a coin in my pocket. Whatever sin we're talking about, there's going to be some desire for it. You understand? But you can desire dangerous things. You can desire the wrong things. The trick is to be smart, to have some understanding. We had a lady call up to the church a few weeks ago. She goes, sir, she goes, I would like to come and pray with your ladies. As a pastor, I go, red flag. I go, well, you've told me neither your organization nor your name, just your desire to come and speak to my people. She goes, oh, okay. She told me her name. And she goes, no, I'm just a person living in the area. Would like to have a prayer breakfast with the ladies. I'd like to bring food. I'd like to bring this. That sounds good, doesn't it? Someone wants to bring me breakfast, not me, because apparently as a pastor I couldn't come, but the ladies. They want to come, they want to have prayer time, and they just want to enjoy some fellowship and maybe talk about what they can do for some of the ladies in our church. Okay. So you want an audience with the members of our church that I organize, but me as the spiritual leader can't be a part of. And you just want that. I go, what are you guys going to talk about? Oh, we'll just see. I go, no, I don't think we'll see. Have a good day. Now, here's the thing. I don't know what she was on about. I got an idea. But that's dangerous to me. Why? Because I've got to be the iron fist over your understanding? No. Because I was called to guard over you, guard over this flock. This lady finds you, she invites you out for coffee, that's your business. It's my job to teach you solid doctrine. And I don't think she was really here to preach or to teach. I think she was looking to sell some stuff. So you're either going to get some trinkets or some insurance, one of the two, right? No, thank you. It's not because I'm some megalomaniac who wants to control your thoughts. I'm here to protect against the wolves. And that smelled like a wolf to me. Smelled like a wolf. Hey, pastor, why don't you get a bunch of your men together? Come on down. We got a seminar over here at the hotel. Get them all together. And I just want you to come on down. We'll have lunch and we'll do this. Get them all down here. We're just going to talk a little bit. We got some presentations for y'all. Come on down. It's going to be a good spiritual time. Half the time it ain't a good spiritual time. Half the time they're there to fleece us. One way or the other. Hey, pastor, I'd like to come to your church and I know you got to protect the pulpit, but I'd like about 10, 15 minutes to get up and explain my testimony. No, thank you. Have a nice day. And that's a difficult conversation to have. I almost prefer the people that call and just ask for money. Right? Now, I get this. I like having conversations with folks. But some folks, the moment you tell them that you're not set up to give everybody gas money, they hang up on me. which is kind of a bummer because I didn't want to pick up the phone in the first place. You called me just to hang up on me. I didn't want to. I was fine. We were already not talking. You ruined it. No, we need to have the proper understanding. We guard our understanding. I like hearing sermons, but I got a 3-strike rule. You can't mess up 3 times on me. Now, I'm not talking about a simple bumbling of words. You're talking faster than you're thinking. I'm not talking about that. Oh, okay, there you are on that doctrine. Oh, there you are wrong on that doctrine again. All right, you're out. Now, I won't go back. Right? I'll be honest with you. This is a mean, but, you know, I pick on Joel Osteen. I've not listened to any of his sermons. Why? I already know. I could pick right up off his biography. No, I'm not listening to that. Absolutely not. Why? Because I guard it. If I know you're on some foolishness. Now why is that? Why is it that we got to guard against foolishness? If we got this idea of there's some meat and there's some bones, and you got to learn to pick out the meat and throw away the bones, right? Anybody here, you like super bony fish? No, brother, am I right? You get a fish with too many bones in it, at a certain point you give up on it, right? That's right. Why? Because I'm bound to choke. If there's not enough meat in this thing, I'm bound to choke on it. So we throw it out. We'll go for a plumper fish. We'll go for a better fish, a less bony fish. And that's what I'm doing. No. I knew a pastor one time had books. He'd buy books, and if there was anything in the book that he didn't like, he put a small notation on the top corner of the book. So anybody who got into his library, if anything should happen, like if he were to die, anybody got into his library, they understood that there were books that he agreed with and books that he didn't agree with, and he marked the books he didn't agree with, so if anybody saw them there, they would know that those weren't books that he believed in. And I thought that maybe there'd be a simpler thing to do if you just went, just threw that thing away. Well, I don't believe in this philosophy, then why do you have it? Well, it's a good book. Okay. You know, there's books out there just to entertain you. You know that, right? Go get an entertaining book. You know, if you're looking for a good book, go get something that just entertain you. Let's not play around with false doctrine. Things we know beyond a shadow of a doubt are wrong. Don't play with them. Don't play with them. They'll taint your understanding. Psalm 3, verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Right? Well, I see what the Bible says there, but I think, Brother Charlie and I were just back there talking. Well, I like how you put that. That's just men arguing against God. It's what it is. Well, no, listen, this is what Scripture says. Well, that's just your interpretation of it. Well, can you interpret it a different way? Because that pretty much says what it says. Well, I don't know. Don't. If God's clear on it, don't mess with it. Don't try to create that. We had that problem in our house growing up. And of course, I kind of see it in my house today, where my mom would sit there and say, don't do that. And what do kids do sometimes when you tell them not to do? I was just doing this or that, and I was going to go over here, and I was going to go clean your room. I'll clean my room, but I'm just going to watch this television show for just a little bit, and then we were going to have dinner, and I was thinking after dinner would be a really good time for me to, no, go clean your room. We try to yes and God, right? God says, oh, yes, but God also, we could do this and this, and I believe this and that. No. No. You know what? Well, we think about the purpose of the Great Commission. We've been talking about that a lot lately. What is the purpose of that teaching and that edifying of the people that we've brought in to the church? What is the purpose of that behavior? Again, just to teach and edify. Right? Sorry, no free bicycles for Sunday school. Right? Sorry, no video games during Sunday school. Sorry, we don't participate in that. Why? Because that's not the purpose of what we're getting together for. Not the reason for it. You know, why don't we sit up there and watch a video? Christmas is on to December 25th. And listen, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to be honest with you. We're going to have church service as normal. All right, for those of you that are wondering. Right? What about my family? Tons of room in here, folks. Tons of room in here. Right? We're going to keep it the same. Right? I've seen, hey, in lieu of Labor Day, we're canceling church services. Really? Really? Why? Well, so many people will be traveling, we don't know if it's worth it. The way my pastor taught me is whether you've got one or you got 1,000, you do it the same because you're doing it unto the Lord. Doing it unto the Lord. Oh, folks, we need to have the proper understanding, and with that comes a heart that leans on God's understanding. It leans on God's understanding. So I understood as a child. He says, I thought as a child. I thought as a child. Now, what's the difference between understanding and thinking? Understanding is when I bring information to you, your understanding is how you process that information, right? For instance, when I drive a car and I see somebody stop suddenly ahead of me, I take my foot, I apply the brake, and depending on how imminent the threat is, depends on how hard I push the brake, right? My mom, however, sought that to mean that at any given second, I am going to stand up from my seat sitting next to her, get out of the car, and stand between her and the thing coming in front of us, because every time she'd nail that brake, throw her hand across, and clothesline me in the throat. And then we keep driving. I'm like, Mom, that thing was like a whole train away from us. Like, why? Why do I have to get hit? I think it's because I deserved it. It's how we process information that's delivered to us, right? Your thoughts are just what just generally happens in your mind. Your thoughts. The general thinking, the things that pop up, the things that creep in are our general reasoning for things. And again, if you're working with the right equipment, if your mind is in the right state, the reasoning will be better. The reasoning will make sense. Now think about this. Think about the last time you were in a really foul mood. All right, we're going to get real sad right now. It was the last time you were angry, the last time you were frustrated, whatever, and you sat down to read the Bible. How'd it go? Or you sat down to do anything. It's hard. Why? Because you're agitated. Now think about the last time you sat down and you read the Bible, and hopefully your mind was clear, calm, and collected. It goes better, doesn't it? The atmosphere of what goes on up here changes your thoughts. Folks, what you put in becomes what processes around. It does. We need to be careful with what we feed into our minds because they become the thoughts. It does. If you sat there and your brain is glued to nonsense television with cussing, swearing, alternative lifestyles, all these things, your thinking is going to become more liberal. It's going to become less godly. If my ears are just being jammed with the wrong kind of music, it's not just the music that's in there, it's the philosophies of it. And we're marinating in these philosophies. And then we sit there, we go, well, why are my thoughts the way that they are? We condition ourselves for sin and then say, oh, what a wretched man I am when it happens. Oh, it's just my nature. You created the perfect scenario. Created the perfect scenario for it. What we need to do is better control what comes in so that our reasoning will be better. Our reasoning will be better. We used to have this person at work, and I loved having a different lunch from them. You want to know why? Because all they did was complain. Oh, man, we got too many phone calls today. Too many phone calls. Too many phone calls. I can't believe all the phone calls we're taking. And then if we didn't have enough phone calls, oh, man, it's dead in here. It's so quiet. Business is going bad. I can't believe we're part of a company where the business is going so bad. Too much of this, too little of that. Just whine, 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 whine. It bummed me out. It's getting to the point where I was sitting there, I was making even my food taste sour just to be in the same room with somebody who thought that way. You know, I'm a grown-up. Some days are going to be good. Some days are going to be easy at work. Some days are going to be hard, right? Amen? And some days easy, some days hard. Either way, I'm still going to get through this thing, right? That's very easy. Whether it's a good day or a bad day, I show up, I do the things, you write me a check, I cash it, that's the deal, right? Either way. But it's the heart, it's the attitude. It always used to bum me out when I had the same lunch as this person. We're filling our lives with things like that. things that are not conducive to our goals, things that are not conducive to what God would have for us, and then we wonder why we struggle. Because you've made it possible. You've picked up all this weight and you're out there trying to run. No, lay it aside. Lay it aside. Because I tell you what, the more you feed in, the more of the harsh, random thoughts that you'll have. Somebody was telling me a story about how they were just kind of sitting there one day on a bus, and they looked over at a person. They said, I just got compelled to reach over and slap the person. And the very first thing I did was this. What's wrong with you? We have random thoughts, random compulsions, random things that just hop in. Not just what comes up is affected by what you put in, but how you handle it. How you handle it is different. You know, I've seen people do some incredibly random things, some incredibly awful things. Why? Because they never learned to control their impulses, never learned to control their random thoughts. What's the biblical answer to this thinking or having thoughts as a child? Well, Isaiah 55, verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him. And our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my thoughts higher than your thoughts, or your ways. Sorry, so far are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Let's put it in perspective like this. My thoughts, my understanding can build a plan, right? Mondays are my days. I sit there with my calendar, try to get up early, get my calendar for the week all situated, all planned out. And I tell you what, you know how many times I've sat there and had to take things from this week and put it over to that week because they didn't get done? It happens a lot. You know what I'm talking about, right? We're going to do this week. And then a bunch of stuff happens and you didn't get to it. That is how little we have in ability to affect the world around us. But look at the description that the Lord gave about his word, right? He gives this illustration about precipitation coming down to the ground. It doesn't get lost. It doesn't go its own way. It goes ahead and affects the earth. It waters the earth. So that way we'll have the food. All right. As sure as this is going to happen is as sure as my word is going to do something. That's how sure God is. So the question is, whose understanding do I rely on? Do I rely on my understanding, where I try to do things my way in the way that I think they should be done? Or do I pause and go to the Lord and say, Lord, what would you have me to do? What would you have me do? And that's when I'm going to get the proper things. That's when the proper things are going to get done. Because I'm listening and I'm applying what God says. The more I read, the more I kind of see what he thinks about things and see his reactions to things, right? We talk about precept, principle, and preferences. Our preferences ought to be built on what we think would please the Lord the best. What do I know God would rather me do? That's the question we ask. Because me, I'll get in trouble. I'll do what I think I ought to do. And I'll get in trouble. Whereas if I stop, Lord, what do you want? What does God want? If my thoughts are more on the Lord than they are the base, sad things around us, well, it's going to be better. Again, I'm going to make better decisions. You know, and we don't talk about this, but a side effect of that is you're going to be in a better mood. You're going to be more steadfast, more firm. Less manipulatable, right? What is it that we're supposed to, what is it that we're called to be? We're called to be rooted in him. Therefore, nothing can affect us. Nothing can push us aside, right? We'll see stuff. We'll have that ability to, hey, here's a random thought, but I know for a fact God would not like me to do that, so I'm going to lay that aside. Or, hey, here's a level of thinking, a thought process that has developed in my mind and it's getting kind of aggressive. I take that to the Lord. Lord, what would you have me to do with this? We get into so much problem, so much trouble because of our mindsets and our practices. Because we never quite learn how to think clearly. We never learn how to think with the right material. In there somewhere is an old laptop. Remember when I found that old laptop in the desk? I had somebody, Carl Lentz, explain to me the memory on the thing. I go, now, wait a minute. I go, I've got pictures bigger than I think that memory can hold. I might be wrong on that. That was an old computer. It couldn't do much. Didn't have a lot of processing power. Couldn't do anywhere near as much as your cell phone could do today. We're thinking on an old, dated model. Something whose ways and thoughts are nowhere near what God's are. What would you rather have? Right? Your doctor is coming and you're consulting with your doctor. And your doctor is, all right, well, let me run your symptoms through my computer here. And he busts out something like that with probably had a green screen or something to it. I didn't turn it on. Plugging everything in. Or would you rather know that you're dealing with something better? Something stronger. Something that can do some real computing. Let's do some real computing. It is not that we are, people take offense to not being told that they're not people take offense to being told that they're not the smartest person in the room. But when we're standing in a room with God, that's exactly what we are. We need some humility to be able to sit there and say, I ain't got it all figured out. It's so cute how we'll do that. Well, I ain't got it all figured out. Well, I ain't got it all figured out. But really, we're just trying to explain away and humanize our sin. The truth is, you're right. We ain't got it all figured out. You know who does have it all figured out? God is. God does. So whose thoughts? Whose understanding will we pattern our speech off of? Whim and impulse like a child. Desire like a child. Or will we base it off of things that matter, things that stand firm? All I know is this, as I look out on this world and I see a lot of people doing some really weird stuff, and not just weird stuff, but doing harmful and detrimental stuff. We were at that thing, there was a lady, she was giving away books, and you know that caught my kids' attention. Books! For those of you that have helped us move, you know we got books. Just books. She's having a conversation with me. She goes, so, how are your children developing? I go, what do you mean? Well, are they, she's looking down at my boys. Are they all using vocabulary? Like what? Well, do they all use regular words? I go, do you see a lot of kids, 4 and up, that don't have a good vocabulary? She goes, well, more and more we're seeing kids, they're struggling with basic reading. Now look it over at my son. She handed Xander one of those I don't want to say C spot run, but it was kind of like that. Here's a good book for you. I go. I'm racing to beat this kid at a chapter book competition. But what I'm trying to get at is this: there's so many people out there, their kids aren't learning, and they don't care. To a point where some random lady is asking me if my older kid can read. Go, how often do you see that? Well, sir, it's become quite a problem. Psh, breaks my heart. Why? Because they're out there doing stuff. They come home and they puff, puff, and then they just kind of sit in front of the TV. Hey, Mom, can I show you what I did at school? Not now. Go, you guys go outside. Go play your video games. Go get out of here. You know, hey, what about marriage? What about commitment? What about promises? What about working to earn? What about working to build? What about building your life? What about your future? What about your retirement? Hey, how about this? What about God? What are you doing for godly things in your house? Well, we don't like that. It sounds like you don't like a lot of things that make sense. What are we really doing? And we're losing our families to drugs. We're losing our families to the internet. And the one thing that has always worked, the one thing we could always trust, the Lord, people are pushing away and pushing away. There was some rabble a little bit ago about a church that was doing a charity event just to give people food. And they faced backlash. You wonder why they faced backlash? Because somebody got it in their mind that if those people went, the only reason why that church was having that was to indoctrinate them in their religion. And I go, what a pity that you would deny them a full belly just because you hate God so much. Because you, now listen, I don't know what they were doing. Maybe I don't know what kind of church it was either. But you would deny them a full belly because you hate God so much. That you would deny your children the lessons. Don't lie. Don't cheat. Be kind to others. You would deny them those lessons because you hate God so much. That you would deny yourself because you hate God. We love God, don't we? Therefore, we should be different. Not just different, but markedly so. You know, coming up, we're going to be going through Matthew 7 on Wednesday nights. The Beatitudes, or the Sermon on the Mount. Wow, what an amazing study that is. We're supposed to be different. Not for the sake of being recognizable, but for the sake of what those things we're doing does. You can't get that on your own understanding, though. Must be on the Lord's. Let's strive. Let's work to be with His understanding, to be right with His way of thinking. Heavenly Father, Lord, it can be a battle to get this flesh to do what it is that You've told us to. Lord, so often we fall onto whim and whimsy and do what we want, and we're impulsive and we give into our sin nature. And Father, even worse than that, we keep feeding our sin nature. And then we wonder at the results. We look at what our sin nature has done to our lives. We look at what our decisions have done to our lives. And we look up to You and we beg You to help us with it. Father, we would be much better helped if we obeyed. Father, it is much easier, much better to obey than to come back and have to say sorry and beg You to fix our lives again. Lord, help us to lean onto Your understanding. Help us to see Your ways, Your thoughts as lofty as they are. And Lord, to stick by them, to try to strive to attain to them. Lord, if we love You, Your Son said, we'll keep His commandments. And I pray, Father, You help us do just that. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.